Community, generosity, discipline, and self-improvement are all major aspects of Ramadan. They're also major aspects of sport, especially football. That's where Striver, a football-based social media app, hopes to leave its mark. I'm Cody Combs, and this is a special Ramadan edition of our Business Extra podcast. For this episode, we'll be looking at Striver, which dubs itself as the world's first abuse-free football social media platform. We'll look at how social media has mirrored the enthusiasm of sport, while also, unfortunately, creating sometimes hostile environments for athletes and fans online. And we'll look at what Striver is trying to do about it, all while promoting themes of community and generosity. Joining me now for this Ramadan edition of Business Extra, we have Tim Chase, founder of Striver, and we have Gilberto Silva, professional footballer who probably doesn't need an introduction, but is a co-founder and ambassador of the Striver app. So Tim, something I often ask people, and we've done a lot of social media apps in the past on Business Extra, but I always have to ask people, does the world need another social media platform?
I'm going to say yes. So our platform is quite different from the existing ones. So firstly, it's abuse-free. So we use AI not to remove hate and hateful content once it's live. We actually use our AI to stop it even getting on the platform. So our belief is that only a small percentage of people actually post and engage on social media. Certainly the football players that obviously Gilberto and Roberto Carlos are my co-founders. If you look at the size of people's audience, let's say Arsenal, because Gilberto used to play for Arsenal Football Club, they have 28.8 million followers on Instagram, but their last post has 148 comments. Why is the engagement so small compared to the size of their audience? And we believe it's down to the hate and the toxicity of the engagement that happens on the other channels. So we want to, rather than promote the hate and allow the hate to go on, we want to engage in positivity. You can still very much be negative on our platform. We don't stop the freedom of speech, but you just can't be abusive and hateful.
Now, I first downloaded the app yesterday. I don't think you would call me the world's biggest football fan per se, but the interface looks good. Everything is really smooth. There's some engagement there, obviously. When did your app first start? When did it roll out?
Yeah, so we've launched in November. That was just our MVP, and the tech is down to the geniuses over at Monster Lab. I don't know if much of them, but I would strongly recommend you Google them, and it's a miracle they're working with a startup like us. So yeah, it's very sick. Thank you for your compliments. So that's kind of what the platform is about, engaging with fans. And it's all about, our platform's quite different. We don't say it's about this. Let's pretend for one instance that I'm a famous footballer. I'm far from that. But if we say it's not about me, it's about my audience and my community. So our content on our platform isn't my latest Ferrari, the amazing holiday I've had, me at football training. It's about getting my community's opinion about it. What do you think of the new Arsenal football kit? What do you think of Arsenal's chances of winning the Premier League? Fans can then respond with their own video, and then we can engage and the players engage with it. And because we've removed the top layer of hate, the fans will engage with the players and the players will engage with the fans.
And you brought up AI, and it seems like a lot of people are, in fact, bringing up AI these days. But how does AI play a role in limiting, and for that matter, eliminating the hate speech on Striver?
Good question. So you people, I'm going to get a little bit technical here.
That's great.
So you may want
to
record this in the podcast. So on our platform, we moderate every piece of content because we believe if one piece of racism, homophobia, whatever, gets onto the platform and one person sees it, the damage has been done. So we don't feel anyone should have to receive any type of abuse. So we moderate your profile picture, your bio, your every single comment and every single video. So let me talk about the two types of things. So comments, we moderate all content before it goes live on the platform. So when you go to type out a comment on our platform and press send, it goes to moderation first. And we look at all the words individually, then the phrases individually, then the sentence. And then we get a sentiment rating on the message as a whole. That sentiment rating gives us the intent. Was that intent of the message supposed to be funny and a bit lighthearted banter? Or was it actually designed to be hurtful and harmful? I think we can probably agree on maybe 10, 20 words or phrases that have no other reason than to cause harm. Then with the video, we remove the audio file, and that's done instantly. You wouldn't even know it's been moderated unless you get a pop-up saying, unfortunately, it's fallen out of our new license agreement, and you have to click a little kind of jovial button that says, I promise I'll be nice. That's a kind of nice, subtle message. Then for the video, we strip the audio file off and we moderate that in the same way, words, phrases, and sentiment. And then with the video, we take a screen grab every 0.3 of a second and we moderate that. We moderate those screen grabs and we look for nudity, violence, drug taking, all that type of stuff. And in fact, we had an incident, which is what we call a false positive. So some content that should have been allowed on the platform, but actually wasn't. And that was someone replying. So it's the most Manchester United piece of content we have. So it was someone replying to Harry Maguire, who's a Man United player. He's a Manchester United fan and he's outside Old Trafford, which is the stadium of Manchester United. And he was replying to Harry Maguire's question. And in the background behind him on the stadium was one of the partners of Manchester United, which was a wine company. And the brand of the wine is Casillero Diablo. Diablo is Spanish for devil, which is, could be harmful in Spanish. So that was, given an incident of how powerful our AI, that bottle of wine was 200 feet away or 200 meters away from the person who was recording the video. It was really far in the distance and really blurred. And that's kind of how powerful it is, because we could be saying nice things to each other, but there could be some hate going on in the background, or a racist symbol or something going on in the background.
So that's incredibly impressive that it picked that up. And I also think you've touched on this a little bit. It's also a little bit scary, and I think speaks to some of the fears about us humans turning over the keys to artificial intelligence. And that kind of brings me to my next question with regard to your app and AI in general. Do you have human moderators that kind of step in and try to rectify these problems as they pop up?
Well, currently the AI is 99.9817% effective, and the team at MonsterLab, again, built this from us, which is fantastic. And so we get very few false positives. However, with the latest version of the app, we have two things that you can do. One, we tell you why it's been flagged, and you may go, actually, it's completely innocent, I'll contest this. And then you'll get a human looking at it going, yeah, absolutely, that's absolutely fine, we'll allow this to go through. Or you can just edit it a little bit. You can just edit the text or edit the video a little bit. The anti-abuse part of our platform is just a very small part of what we do. We take the abuse away. We actually want to give fans the experience of engaging with each other. And we see so many times where a fan just gets a response from Roberto Carlos, and it totally changes their day. And it puts a massive smile on our face, knowing that this kid's just about to get a response from Roberto Carlos. That's the feeling we want to have. That's the feeling social media should have. Social media should be a platform for us all to engage. And it's not that at the moment. I firmly believe that's how it was supposed to be. And that was the intent of everyone that started a social media platform, was to engage with the world. But it's moved away from that. And we're trying to bring it back to being what it is, which is essentially a place for us to engage with each other.
So I'm going to pivot a little bit to you, Gilberto. Tell me a little bit about you have a deeply personal connection to basically the origins of this app. You were the subject of a lot of very terrible things said on social media, very unconstructive things said on social media. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, since when I joined Stripe with Tim, you know, it's for us like a mission to help people throughout social media. As we have seen, people have been struggling a lot in social media, receiving a lot of abuse. With Stripe, we can support them. I had some bad experience in the past throughout social media when one day I woke up and there was a lot of terrible messaging. I'm not going to explain what was the reason, because it's a long story, but this was quite a challenge for me to deal with the situation, not so easy. And I wish that on that time we had a Stripe to support me, because one of the way I have to, let's say, to keep involved with people, connect to them, is throughout social media, because I cannot connect to them every time in person. But throughout social media, I have a possibility to speak to the world. It doesn't matter where I am. And this, how we are about Stripe, about the project, about the concept, is about to helping people to express themselves, but also give them a safe environment where they feel comfortable to express their ideas, share their success with other people.
So you are a professional footballer. You've probably gotten asked to endorse countless products. Where does Striver rank? It's obviously something you're quite proud of, but where does Striver rank in terms of something that you're putting a lot of your energy into? It's clearly very important to you.
I think this is more than just a project for us. It's about how can we support people around the world suffering with a lot of injustice. Sometimes people see successful people, and sometimes I don't know what they have in mind. Sometimes they don't agree with this kind of success. They have their opinions. It's all right. And there's no problem about that. The problem starts when I come into your space, which is your channel, and because what I believe that you don't deserve the success you have, and I start to shout on you, on your space. I think this is not fair to you. It's not fair with the other people who follow you, who believe in what you do. And this is where we are. We come in between to help this dialogue, this conversation, to stop where the abusive comments, the abusive message, not affect you. And therefore, you know, we are in a position that we are to serve people. This is more than just a project for us. This is more than a business. It's about how can I support you? And throughout Strive, how can we together can support other people? And therefore, it's about to influence people. You know, for example, me and Tim, we have kids. I don't know if you have kids, but maybe around the world, a lot of parents with their children, they are very concerned. It's the same. Let's say we are concerned when they go outside home and when they go to school, what can happen? If they are okay, everything's fine, they are safe. I think in the social environment is the same, on the internet. A lot of parents concerned about their kids, how they use the technology, which is supposed to be in their favor. Sometimes people with different intention, bad intention, and they affect somebody, kids' mental health, adults' mental health, throughout their anger they have. Or sometimes they have a bad day and they express throughout somebody else. It's not fair. And in my case and team, and especially when he told me, you know, I need to find something where my son and my kids have a safe environment. They can use technology. I won't stop them, but they are going to be on a safe space. This where, you know, when he told me that, I said, wow, this is meaningful. This is powerful. And throughout Strive, we can support a lot of people around the world.
When you say that fan is short for fanatic, in a nutshell, and these things do get out of hand, which social media platforms do you think are bringing out the worst in people? Obviously, you don't want to call out a competitor, but some of these social, I doubt that they're going on LinkedIn and saying a lot of this stuff.
Well, it's the community, right? The community on LinkedIn is professional. And I think if you posted some content, you're in danger of losing your job and your work and network, right? So if I start posting something abusive or racist or whatever, a lot of my clients would see that and I probably wouldn't have a social media platform anymore. So I think it's down to the community, but then also down to what the platform allows it. I'm not going to pick a fight with Elon Musk. He has a couple more pounds than I do right now, and he seems to love a fight. So what I would say is the stats that came out last year, which is the most engaged platforms. It's the most engaged platform in the world at the moment. And what I mean by engaged is how many users, what percentage of users actually use the platform in terms of posting content, right? So TikTok now, I think, has 1 billion users. If they're the biggest, what would you think is a high percentage? What would you say the figure is? What percentage would you say of users actually post stuff on TikTok? If you had to just give a guess.
You mean generally engage on TikTok? Not necessarily in a bad way, but...
Yeah, post content.
I would say 35%.
4.5%.
Wow.
Only 4.5% of people post on TikTok. The next one is Instagram, which is 0.65%. Not even 1%.
Wow.
For TikTok. Instagram user post. Facebook is the next one with 0.15 and TikTok is 0.015. And I submit that it's because of the abuse that happens. And I'm blessed to be working with a load of famous footballers. And I see firsthand what happens to them. I've witnessed thousands of DMs that players get when they misplace a pass or score an own goal or miss a penalty, and the death threats to their children, wishing their children had cancer. I think that there's now just an apathy from football clubs going and players that go, I have to post because my sponsorship deal says I have to, but it doesn't mean I need to engage. I'll just post a photo that I'm supposed to, and then all the fans can say all the rubbish that they want to about me. Social media is the best way to engage your fans. If you're a football club like Arsenal, you only have 75,000 tickets to sell for every game. And there's only 38 games in the season. And half of those aren't in your own stadium. The best way to engage your fan base is on social media. But nobody does it because everyone can't be bothered to post something because you post a comment saying, Arsenal, you're my favourite club, I love you. And someone says, no, they're not, they're rubbish and you should go off and die. What's the point? Why would you post anything?
Clearly a fan short for fanatic, people get out of control. That's clearly a disproportionate response to anything. And it's hard to imagine somebody writing that, but I, coming from a social media background, I used to be a social media editor here. People do say some pretty awful things on these social platforms. In terms of players, how many professional players are on your app? And conversely, how many ballpark figure, how many users are on Striver?
I can't give the figures away just yet, but I can tell you that we have close to 40 ambassadors, which are current players, former players, and content creators. We're speaking to the Saudi Arabian Football Federation. They're very keen to use our platform. They say that this is third party, don't quote me on this, but they said that, sorry, I'll say that when I went to visit that region, it was a very respectful part of the world. You obviously can't be rude in public, which I embrace, but social media is a place where you can be extremely abusive. And it seems that social media and the culture of the UAE doesn't really mix. Whereas our platform, we feel that actually it could be quite a powerful platform out in that part of the world for us to go and work. So yeah, we work with the Saudi Arabian Football Federation, the Qatari FA, and some football clubs and players. So we'll be coming out to the Middle East in a big way.
What is your business model? At the end of the day, we are the Business Extra podcast, so I have to ask some of these more mundane questions. But at the end of the day, you have to stay in business. How do you make money?
Yeah, so we're a startup, so there's going to be lots of ideas for us. We will be doing some traditional stuff, so like advertising and brand deals and things like this, but we'll be very selectful about the type of brands we work with. Our internal motto, if you like, for all the staff here, is we only do things with the best interest of our users. So if it's not our users' best interest to work with, say, gambling companies, I don't believe it is. So we won't be working with gambling companies. If it's not in our users' best interest to work with tobacco or alcohol, these type of brands, everything we do will be designed to be in the best interest of our users. Now, the monetization will come from that rather than saying, here, we're going to do pre-roll advertising, or we're going to do upfront brand deals, or we're going to do subscription.
But as of right now, like, I don't have to pay to join the app.
Oh, no, absolutely not. No, so we, but being the disruptive nature of my own character and of the platform, we'll be coming up with disruptive ways to break the norm of revenue generating from social media platforms.
You have the germ of a really good idea here, and that's positivity on social media, I think. Are there any plans to broaden this out beyond football and apply it to other sports, or just kind of take this beyond sports in general?
Absolutely. So we see a need for a social platform for everybody, a social media platform that makes you feel good. Who wouldn't want that, right? So I've been approached by some cricketers from the Indian IPL, the Indian Cricket League, because I've been told that the Indian cricketers get more abuse than actually the European footballers, which must be a hell of a lot. So we will go wherever we kind of feel. We have our own idea of other sports we'll go to next, but we're totally organic. So if we get approached by, say, basketball or fishing or something like that, we'll happily go there. We've got something amazing planned for music within the next 12 months, which will blow the music industry up a little bit. I say I'm quite a disruptive character by nature. So that's going to be really interesting. And then our plan is to be a general social media platform by 2026.
Inevitably, when these social media platforms kind of grow, the users find ways to use it in ways that the founders didn't necessarily intend. Has that been the case with Striver at all?
No, but it definitely will be. So, for example, I know YouTube started as a dating site. And I imagine that while we started with football, I firmly believe that music is where we will change the world. So you mentioned features. So one feature I'm really passionate about is actually a feature called Feature. And what we want to do is put that experience of the fan engaging with the players. And I've seen firsthand what it's like when you shake Gilberto Silva's hand or you have a photo, and how that changes a person's life, genuinely changes a person's life, and the positivity that brings along with it. We want everyone to feel that feeling, that smile on your face, that smile on your kid as a photo with his favorite footballer or YouTuber. So if we built a social media platform that was basically Twitter without abuse or Instagram without abuse, no one would be interested, because those things already exist. So we have to do something different. And why we do different is putting you, the fan, or you, the observer, in the driving seat. And you are the one gaining the experience, not the person who's posting looking for dopamine hits and how many likes and comments they have. It's you, the fan, and what you get to experience. So let's say Roberto Carlos does his famous free kick. He's super famous for this free kick, which just defies the laws of gravity. And on our platform, he says, these are the three tips for doing my famous free kick. So then fans can upload their video themselves. So Cody, you respond with an amazing attempt and you absolutely nail this free kick, and you're a huge Roberto Carlos fan because you've responded to him. He would then just can scroll through the responses like everybody else, and he comes up with your video and sees you've done an amazing job. He can click that button called Feature, and you get a notification immediately saying, Cody, you've been featured by Roberto Carlos. You go, what does that mean? And click that notification, and it's your video on Roberto Carlos's feed, and you go, oh my goodness, Roberto Carlos has seen my video and liked it so much, he shared it with his fans, which is basically what that is. So you feel amazing. you will, but also everyone who follows Roberto Carlos gets that notification saying Cody's been featured by Roberto Carlos. So now all of Roberto's audience comes and watches your video. No abuse. You can feel comfortable that people be saying, Cody, I've been trying for 2 weeks. How did you manage to do that? You can respond to them. Cody, how did you manage to do that? How long did it take you to do? Respond to them. So now you've got Roberto's community, of which you are part of, engaging with you. So you feel part of, even more part of that community.
And that's good engagement. That's good user retention, which is also key. And it's all of those things without the side effects of the toxicity and the negativity.
You can be negative. You can't be abusive, because we feel negativity. If we stop negativity, that is the freedom of speech. Abuse is. If we take away the people's fear of being abused or ridiculed or shamed, then you are getting the true freedom of speech, rather than the person who's just the rudest or the who sort of shouts the loudest. You're getting a true freedom of speech throughout the world, rather than, I'm just going to say the most abusive stuff so nobody else comments because they're too scared of posting anything.
And Tim and Gilberto, I do have one more question. It might seem trivial, but a lot of these social media apps have very interesting origin stories and stories behind their names. The name Striver, where did that come from?
It came from us, firstly. We want to be a little bit more of a responsible social platform, not someone that allows all sorts of content on there, promoting or allowing sexually abusive content for around kids. Because I know Instagram have had 34 million pieces of content and sexualizing children removed. We want to be a platform, as I said earlier, a platform that is only in our users' best interest. That's the whole platform. So it's all about us wanting to be a bit better. And the word for wanting to be a bit better is Striver. We're not perfect now. We're not perfect now, but we want to be. So we're striving for that. So Striver for me means just a little bit better than you were yesterday.
That's it for this episode. Thanks so much for listening. Please remember to follow us wherever you get your podcasting content so you can receive all of our episodes as soon as they come out. This episode was produced by Doe Fareed and Arthur Edison. I'm your host, Cody Combs.